You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solano, we greet you here today. God bless you on this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us here today. Hope you're having a wonderful day. It's going to get even better here now in the next 30 minutes as we sit under the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is alive. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're tuning in now to God's frequency, hence the name of this program, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you when you go to where he speaks. We are in, well, we're in this little series here, Famous Chapters of the Bible. That's what's playing on the radio. On other days, you're hearing what I'm preaching on Sundays, and that is the book of Acts. We'll be back again with that here on the radio here shortly. Here today, though, Tuesday and Wednesday, you're going to hear Paul's Thorn in the Flesh, where we'll be coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You guys are invited to Bible study here on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. We'll be starting 2 Peter on Wednesday nights, verse by verse. You're invited. We'd love to see you for any one of our services, Wednesdays at 6, Sunday mornings at 10:30. The book of Acts, verse by verse. If you're new to the area or if you are looking for a church home for whatever reason, you guys know what to expect if you listen into this program. You're invited. We would love to see you. You'll be warmly greeted by this excellent church family. And speaking of this excellent church family, they're the ones responsible for bringing to you this program, WGOD. Okay, let's get into the Word. islandcommunitychurch.net is our website for more info on us. The sermons are available on YouTube on the Island Community Church YouTube page. Here we go. This is part one of this message now, Paul's Thorn in the Flesh. Lord, I pray that you would indeed answer people's secret prayers there this morning, things that have been heavy on people's hearts. Maybe people are upset or they keep asking, why, God, why? Lord, I just pray you do an awesome work here this morning. Here in your house, on the radio, on the YouTube, our friends that are watching on there, and on Facebook, our friends that are watching on there. Have your way with us here today. We bow the knee to you, Almighty God. Have your way with us. We listen for your voice now. We tune into your frequency here where you're speaking. Lead us and guide us now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Here today, we're looking at Paul's Thorn in the Flesh. Famous chapters of the Bible takes us to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, there's been a great deal of misunderstanding in today's sermon, in our sermon text here today. Most misunderstanding comes from bad charismatic doctrine of those that don't seem to understand that sickness, even a demonic attack, can, but not always, but can come from God and cannot be rebuked. Mostly this comes from people who deny the sovereignty of God. And look, I've got some news for you here this morning, and that is that God is large and in charge, not you, not me, and not the devil as well. So I just want to warn you, if you hear that kind of stuff somewhere, that maybe it's your own fault that you're sick, or when people say that it's your own fault, or when people say that you can command your healing, no one understands. That's unbiblical. God is sovereign, as we're going to find out here today in this text, big time. Now, we're in 2 Corinthians this morning. We're going to have a thorough look at this passage. starting right from the top of chapter 12. So what's the context first? Very important. Paul's defending himself. Some people don't like correction or to be told what to do or to hear that sin is sin is sin is sin. Look at what they said about this man, the Apostle Paul, behind his back. If you were to turn over just one page, probably one page in your Bible, to chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, you would have heard this. Paul speaking, maybe sarcastically, maybe not sarcastically. 2 Corinthians 10:10 says, "For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is feeble, and his speech is contemptible." That's what they said about him behind his back. So the slanderers used to say that the Apostle Paul was a bald-headed Jew with a hook nose. That's the reputation that he had. So he's defending himself here. He feels backed into a corner. Or he's going to lose this church to false apostles there. Also, if you go back two chapters, he says this about the false apostles there. In 11:13, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms," or the NIV says, "disguises himself." Like that old movie, Transformers, robots in disguise. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. All right, so understand where this kind of backstabbing and discord originates. So now he's going to share with these leaders in Corinth some awesome credentials that no man could match, literally no man, and no apostles either for that matter. Now, right before chapter 12, verse 1, Paul makes this comment about boasting. In 11:30, he says, "If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity." Reading this verse to some of my charismatic friends is like showing the cross to Count Dracula. Imagine that, boasting in your weakness. Imagine boasting in your sickness. Think about the infirmity, the infirmary, right? Sick folks. Debilitating illness, the word means. Weakness, sickness, illness. Paul says these are the things that he boasts about. How weak he is. Now let's get this sermon rolling. Chapter 12, starting from the top. Now, it is doubtless, now remember, he's been forced to do this. He's even going to say at the end, which we're not going to look at. He says, "You people made me do this. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to boast. You guys backed me into a wall here, backed me into the corner, forced me to do this to defend myself." So here we go, starting with the top. He said, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, but I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord." See, that is, he started back in this last chapter boasting in how much he suffered and all the things that he went through. In the last chapter, verse 24, he says, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Man, this guy had it deep, huh? And you want to be an apostle? Really? Verse 27, "In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, hunger, thirst,
fastings often, and cold and nakedness. You see, these people were trashing him behind his back while they drove around in ECs. You heard of an EV? An EC is an electric camel. So now he's going to boast a little about his visions. He's boasting in all these things because no one believes him. They trash him behind his back. So now he's going to boast about he's going to boast about this. Let's see what he boasts about now. He's going to boast about what he's seen. He's going to boast now about where he's been. But he's going to refer to himself in the third person when he says, "I know a man." Talk about suffering, he referred to himself. Talking about visions, he refers to himself in the third person. "I know a man. I know a man. I know a man." This is verse 2. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago," now he wrote this in 56, so do the math, it's around 42. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven." Now that would be where God himself resides. The most high place, the third heaven. Paul got taken to the glory of glories in heaven. Verse 3, "And I know such a man," now he says it again, "whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise, and he heard inexpressible words which are not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities." There's that Greek, that word again. Asthenia is the Greek word. It can mean sickness, weakness. In those old movies, or actually in the military, that's the sign they used to hang over the ward where the sick people were at. Infirmary. These are the things that this man boasted about. He boasted about his sicknesses, not all the things that he had done. "Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I would not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." All right, so in the body or out of body, I do not know. Meaning whether or not his whole body went to heaven or just his spirit, even he didn't know. Now here's a great note that I found on this. This sentence shows that the soul, when separated from the body, has powers of perception. It therefore confirms the doctrine that the soul, when separated from the body by death, it does not sleep. Your soul is going to continue forever. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." There is no such thing as soul sleep. Also, this note as well. When boasting of weakness, the Apostle didn't mind mentioning himself. But when boasting of visions and revelations from the Lord, he would not apply them directly to himself, like I said. But he would rather boast of the experience impersonally, as having occurred to some man that he knew. Now let me read to you where I believe that this happened to him. I don't know if that's on the board. It is Acts chapter 14, verse 19. You don't need to turn there, but let me read it to you. Just one verse. "Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Acts 14, 19. That's where a lot of expositors think that this happened to him. Maybe he did die. Maybe the Apostle John saw all of the book of Revelation in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know. Anyway, that's where this probably happened to him. Around 14 years ago, he said, so that would make it around 42 AD. So, always be a little leery of someone claiming that they've been to heaven and yuck it up with Jehovah while they're there. Paul won't speak about it, but other people want to write books about it. It goes without saying, doesn't it? Verse 7, and the reason why what we're about to read has happened to him. Verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, somebody cared for him. Somebody cared for him. Matter of fact, he suffered because someone cared for him. Like a sympathy card? Here it's a sympathy demon, which I could do without. Thank you very much. How about you? But lest I be exalted, this happened to him. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Then he says it again. And it's so important he says it twice in case you missed it the first time. Some people like to say Paul's thorn in the flesh came from Satan because they say God would never make someone weak or sick or cause that person to undergo any kind of demonic oppression or attack. So to that I ask the question, so the devil wants you to remain humble, huh? And not to exalt yourself? My, my, what a friend you have, huh? All your sins and griefs to bear. Satan wants you to stay humble and not to exalt yourself. Again, speaks for itself. Make no mistake. It's God who will see to it that you remain humble and not filled with pride, thinking that you're something when you're not. No, the devil sees just a tool. He is perpetually at God's disposal. God can use anyone at any time. That's what he does. He's God. Now, verse 8, he knew exactly where to go concerning this. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. You know, funny how all of his prayers for other people, you know, God answered. For healing, for resurrection, for the impartation of spiritual gifts. But for him, no. So concerning this thing, that is this thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, let's break this down. Let's start with this word thorn. The Greek word scolops. It means something pointed like a stake or a point on a hook, like a sharp point on a fishing hook. Now, Captain Jim could show you what his hands look like on any given day. And he ought to be in the infirmary. And that's what this word for thorn means, like a stake, something that causes severe pain or constant irritation. Next up, messenger. It's the Greek word angelos. That's why I've translated that as an angel from Satan. New King James says messenger. Angelos. So, lest I be full of pride because of all the stuff that I've seen up in the third heaven where Almighty God himself resides, lest I get a big head over this, lest I think that I am better than everyone else, a spike, a sharp spike, a debilitating pain or illness He's probably building off chapter 11, where he says if he boasts at all, he's going to boast in these infirmities that he has. Lest I be exalted above measure, a sharp spike was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. I heard they put headphones on him and made him listen to Boy George on a continual loop. Do you really want to hurt me? Or maybe it was Jimmy Buffett to buffet him. I digress. The word is kolophidzo. It means to punch in the face. It means to strike a blow, to beat someone. It means to whoop on someone, to use a Jersey vernacular. Are you guys starting to get the picture of what happened to him? Lest I get proud and full of myself, and lest I start thinking that I'm something because I've received some great revelation from God, a sharp spike was inserted into my side, a demon to punch me in the face. Also notice that God rules. He even uses the devil to accomplish his will and to carry out his plans in this world. Everything and everyone is at God's disposal. God told Job in the Job 41:11, he said, everything under heaven belongs to me. So again, back from verse 7. Lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh, a fishing hook stuck in my side that's not going away. A real sharp one. Stuck in there. Was given to me. A messenger in Angelos of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Now concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now, as for God's answer, which, by the way, I am always envious of, that God would actually answer these guys. You know, I wish that he would answer me that way sometimes. But then again, I'll pass on the hook on my side and a hissing demon anyway, punching me in the face. How about you? I think I'll settle for reading the Word of God myself in the comfort of my own living room, out of my Bible. However, if I did hear the audible voice of God, I probably would need the spike as well, the same as him. I can smell my brain working overtime. Wow, you've been to heaven, right? Get a little snort there. You people haven't. I've been to heaven, you people haven't, right? Or else, why read my Bible again after where I have been? Why read my Bible? I don't even need faith anymore. By golly, I've been up to the third heaven. I know the color of Jesus' eyes. I've seen the decor in heaven. Why even read my Bible? You see, he needed a thorn in his side. And up. No, you don't. We're going to stick you with this thorn to keep him humble. So I'll be content with hearing you speak to me through your word. Verse 9, as for God's answer to Paul. Now again, remember the backdrop. Lord, please heal me from this. I've got a sickness. Heal me, please. Heal me from this infirmity or weakness. Heal me. Heal me from this sickness that I've got. Heal me from this demonic attack. I said, demonic attack. He didn't rebuke this. Paul did not rebuke the demonic attack. He prayed about it. There's some good example to follow. He prayed about it. Lord, heal me from this demonic oppression. It's me, Paul. It's the Apostle Paul, even. Heaven's the Murgatroyd. Why can't I rebuke this? It's certainly not God's will. It's certainly not God's will for me to suffer like this, right? Right? How can it be God's will that I suffer? Man, oh man, open up your Bible and read about it. To you it's been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. In Philippians chapter 1, Romans 8, 16 and 17. That's why you can't rebuke this. Now the Bible's about to answer this question. Does everyone who has faith get healed or not? Verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Huh? But I'm sick. But I've got a demon sticking me in my side. I've got a demonic spike stuck right here. Don't you realize who I am? I'm an apostle. You see, I need something more. I'm sick. I need something more. I'm sick. I need something more. You see, grace won't heal me. Grace won't heal me. But it'll help you get through your trial, praise God. Grace will not heal you. But it'll help you get through the trials that you're going through. Now, Jesus said, that's all that you need. That's all that you need. Sufficient. That's what the word means. He's all that you need. Matter of fact, me and Pastor Darren were saying, his grace is more than you need. He gives it out in abundance. It's more than you need. My grace is sufficient for you. Now here comes the reason why. Finally, he says, for my strength, Greek word dunamis. Some translations say power. Let's use the word dynamite. For my dynamite is made perfect in weakness. Now, here's a spiritual truth God showed me this week. God's dynamite only explodes when it's wet. God's dynamite only explodes when it's wet. My strength, my dynamite is made perfect in weakness. Now, from this answer, you see, on goes the light bulb in the Apostle Paul's head, along with the understanding. See, the light bulb goes off, now he gets it. God's dynamite goes off when it's wet, and wet is, I'm weak and I can't do this on my own. I need help. God help me, I need help. I got this demon dogging me and it won't go away. I can't rebuke it. You're not taking it away. What do I do? He says, my grace is all that you need.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.